Would you turn to Deuteronomy 18? We'll be reading this verse for the last time today because I'm going to finish up what the Lord has given me on witchcraft spirit. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14. Father, we just come before you. Holy Spirit, take over. Fill your hearts with your Spirit, O God. Fill us, Lord, with the Spirit of revelation and wisdom. God, you are putting together the army, the end time move, to bring in your harvest and in your coming. But Father, there's many battles to fight and many spirits to confront. We just ask for your patience, O God, as you bring us this revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14 says, "And when you enter the land of the Lord your God, who is giving to you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his sons and daughters in the fire, who practice divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium, spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you will dispossess listen to those who practice sorcery and divination. But as for you, your God has not permitted it to be so." We started this series off because the subtleties of a witchcraft spirit, and a lot of us think about, you know, the witch that's flying across the broom factory and stuff, you know. But witchcraft is very, very dangerous within the body of Jesus Christ. And I've exposed several things on there. First of all, the spirit of witchcraft is a master manipulator. Okay? It creates situations through illusion and diversion. And I spoke about some of those things in which how this spirit operates. And understand, it needs a host. Every demon looks for a host. It looks for a place to live so it can operate from. And it operates from a spirit of deception. Okay? It uses other spirits such as depression, fear, and fatigue to do so. The whole emphasis on a spirit of witchcraft is to wear you out, to tire you, to make you give up and surrender to your will to doing what it wants to do through you. It uses its influences to keep us from doing the will of God, whether individually or collectively as a church. And we see much happening in the church today. The Holy Spirit is stirring up an undercurrent within the church. Churches like ours are really beginning to take a force in that. And it's not a religious spirit. It is one that is based on relationship. I need to know what God is saying to Daniel, and Daniel needs to hear what God is saying through me. We're relating together what is happening. I need to know what's going on in Karen's life so that she may understand what's happening. Because, you know, if we just keep this stuff to ourselves, we all lose. And we need to expose all these things. We need to be as clean as possible before the Lord, because He's not one now to allow us to get away with things that we did when we were newborn babes. Those days are over. And what we're seeing today is God is removing pastors who have been influenced by a spirit of witchcraft. And as I said, this is very subtle. It is so active in the church, we don't even realize it. And part of this, we started this thing off, is that this spirit sends a spirit of gossip into the church. And we all know that bad news travels fast. The problem is, we tend to be the bearers of this spirit of gossip because we like to put somebody down to elevate our own positions. And that's assaulting another warrior in Jesus' name. Amen? Those days are over. God is going to hold us accountable for those things. And until we repent and we get our act together, we're in serious problems with Him. You may say, well, Pastor, you know, you're taking this thing a little too serious. Well, you know what? If you've gone through what I've gone through and walked the path I've had to walk, yeah, this is serious. This is serious. And I can't emphasize it enough that you know what? People tend to have this denominational mindset about things that are going on, whether it's from the building and what's happening with the building to what's going on in our personal lives. With Nolan finally getting lit up by the Spirit to understand what the power of prayer is all about. I mean, we're going to be celebrating 10 years of ministry here at Streams of Life, and we're finally getting it. We're finally getting it. You know, it hasn't been easy for me to allow the Holy Spirit to move in people's lives, but He has developed grace within my heart to allow Him to do what He needs to do in your lives. And I just keep pushing forward. We had, through the prayer, was shared with me this morning that the Lord had shown the battlegrounds set up. There was a horse and a purple curtain that was riding it, going across, blowing across the horse. And of course, God spoke to me immediately and said, "You are that horse, and my Spirit is blowing across you, not only across the armies, but across you, to lead this army." And then the next thing it was about these swords clanging against the shields and all. We're part of this line of warriors. You are a warrior. You are a victor. You're not a victim anymore. You've been victimized too long, and the spirit of witchcraft is part of this victimization type of thing. So let us continue in exposing this spirit so that we can understand that we've got a part to play. We need to renounce that part that we played and begin to move in the things of God. Amen? As I said, the Spirit usually assaults the unaware, uninformed, and immature by using acts of illusion and diversion to create an atmosphere of unusual, again, abnormal, unusual tiredness, sadness, or depressiveness. And I said last week that if you're suffering from this, and the next thing you take a trip and you're out, and all of a sudden it's like this cloud that's been around you has been vanquished, and you're seeing the world as God sees it, you're probably being assaulted by a spirit of witchcraft, and you haven't really understood this. You know, we started off with some of the subtleties of, have you ever been involved with somebody that you're talking to them and they talk back to you? And when you get done talking to them, it's like, where the heck, you know, they don't make sense. You know, the rationale is lost. To them, it's sense, makes sense, but not to us. Because for us, we deal with truth. They deal in some sort of reality that doesn't make sense. God is requiring us to change our lives. He is requiring us to repent. He is requiring us not to be like the nations. He is driving them out. And He's driving them out of the church. My Bible tells me that He's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Well, these spots are within the body of Christ. And if they don't repent, they will be driven out and they will be destroyed. And it is all spiritual. Let's look at diversion a little bit. Diversion is the act of turning aside from a course or purpose. It is used in such things as to create a detour. And this spirit uses elements of recreation, entertainment, or amusement to distract one's attention. Now, all of us like to have fun. All of us like to do lighthearted things and all. What this spirit does is it is a spirit that will tell you as you're moving in the things of God. And we say, God, you know, I really want to do this. God, I want to move out in this thing. I want to be used in prayer. Or I want to, you know, just lay hands on somebody and watch you heal them. And what happens is as we make that statement, we want this, friend calls us, hey, come on over, you know, let's watch the football game. After you say, yeah, you commit to that, somebody calls you up and says, hey, man, can you come over here and pray? Can you just lay your hands on me and just pray? What do you do? This spirit of witchcraft will utilize this diversion to keep you from doing what God has said, to go to a life of ease. You see, anything that placates the flesh is not of God. We don't want to give up our freedom to have fun. We don't want to do, but this spirit will divert us from doing it. It sets up detours. It sets up things in our lives to keep us from doing the things of God. And what we do is we agree with it. Pastor, I got really something to do. Okay. Now, you know, I know you're going to be mad, Pastor. No, I'm not. I know you got stuff to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And seek ye first is more than what I'm supposed to do as a father. What am I supposed to do in my job? It is more than that. It is seeking the kingdom first. He gives us these opportunities, whether to go and pray for a brother who is not feeling well, or do we just go over and have fun? Do we play video games all day long? This spirit will do that to say, yes, there's nothing wrong with that. And there isn't. But the key, the hook in this, is to keep you there longer than what you think you're going to spend time there. I could spend an hour. The diversion is to keep you from doing the will of God. And we think, well, you know what? God's not going to be mad, you know, huh? I'm entitled to have some freedom and relaxation, and I can do this and I can do that. And it is. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it becomes abnormal, when it becomes excessive, when it takes up your time. Have you ever had somebody come to you and try to eat up all your time? And you give them the word of truth and they don't do it. But they keep coming back. They keep telling, man, I got this problem and you know, I God says you need to do this, this, and this. Well, I really don't want to do that. Remember, it's to exhaust you. Our strength is renewed when we do the things of God, when we're spending time in His Spirit, when we're told to do things. Our spirit gets built up. But every time we allow this spirit of witchcraft to manipulate us and challenge us to keep us from doing the things that God wants done, we're at loss. The body of Christ is at loss. And we're not being built up. It's a diversion. It's kind of like we have a roadblock up here at this bridge, and I'll use Dan's situation. He recently moved, and so you can't come across that bridge. You either have to figure another way out, but the first time you came, the detour's there. So now you have a choice. You can either figure an alternate route, which will take you longer to get where you need to be here for whatever purpose that God has, or, as the spirit of witchcraft will whisper in your ear, you can't get there from here. You know, just go home. Yeah. And he says it a lot. Just go home. Reschedule. Find out a little bit more about this. You know, it can wait. But how many times the thing that's pressing upon our heart that God has given to us becomes catastrophic for someone else because we didn't push through. We didn't do what God said to us. We are more than conquerors, and yet we act like we're conquered. I've talked about this victimization mindset. It is permeated through the body of Jesus Christ. I hate it. You are no longer victims. He has taken care of that, and now you are victors. You are. But you're not convinced of that. Because you're waiting for God to do something, and God said, I did it all for you. It's your turn now to start applying the truth that I've told you to live by in order for you to become that king, that high priest that you already are. You see, the reality of who we are hasn't been manifested fully to all of us. And the spirit of witchcraft does not want you to attain that level of understanding, because when you do, there's problems. Problems in the kingdom of darkness, not in the kingdom of light. Because now there's an expansion that happens. We must understand that this spirit wants to condemn us. That when we choose to placate our flesh, to do whatever it is we want, the next thing we do is, man, I'm just such a worm. I knew I should have been there. I should have done this. How many of us have experienced that and continue to experience it? Isn't it about time you repent? Tell God, I'm moving forward. Tell Satan, I found out what you're all about, and move on. You see, the responsibility in the spirit of witchcraft is that we don't have responsibility. It's always somebody else's fault. There's no accountability. Because after all, I'm going to keep you longer than where you need to be. And that's to keep you from fulfilling the purposes of God in your life. Keep you from fulfilling the plan of God for the church. And that has been happening. I was in a conversation with a woman yesterday, and I said to her, I said, most of the problems that are happening in this nation is because the church has been silent. And that's the truth. We've been talking about social architecture and stuff, and we have not done enough of talking about spiritual architecture. The people of God have not been built up like they should have been. And so what happens is we listen to the propaganda that's being spewed out of our politicians' mouths, and we don't believe what the pastor is telling us. And so we buy into this baloney. A spirit of witchcraft is at the point of it. Those who are under the direction of witchcraft influences admit that they've done nothing wrong and there's no true repentance coming forth. They exhibit false humility without remorse for their actions. Remember, this witchcraft spirit is all about control. It's all about controlling you to do what they don't want to do, because there's no accountability. There's no accountability. They blame shift. Well, it was because of that. It was because this church didn't do what I needed, or didn't provide what I wanted. Or that person did this, this, and this. What about your responsibility? Jesus is about your responsibility to Him. When we stand there, and we're all going to stand there, and we're all going to give an account individually. What did you do with the word of truth? Did you use it to manipulate and control people? Did you use things in such a way that you didn't want to do these things, so you got other people to do it and waste their time from becoming that which God has called them to be? I think it's long enough that the church has suffered so much at the hands of Satan and allowing this spirit to flow within the church that we think that this is normal. And then when I pose these questions to make you think about it, and I've had a comment come back, said to me, don't you think you're being a little hard? No, I'm trying to break the stones off your eyes so you can begin to see with spiritual eyes to see what's really happening. I'm not being hard. I'm being loving, believe it or not. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you. Those under witchcraft... witchcraft influence never have a pure or innocent motive to what they do. And they never examine themselves because they're not the ones with the problem. Remember, witchcraft is always trying to shift the problem to you, while in the same motion, getting you to do what they don't want to do. And I'm sure the wheels are turning. I see the wheels turning. There are people in our lives that do this. And then the next thing we do is we allow the accuser of the brethren come and we attack a fellow warrior. Because we don't have the understanding of their heart, We don't have the understanding of their motives. We don't have the understanding of what God is saying to them. We actually castrate the next generation because we feel that they have nothing to offer. And I sit with the young people because I want to know what God's saying to them. Believe it or not, they're probably more in tune with the Spirit of God because we have all this religious garbage that's coming in, and the spirit of witchcraft is working with us. The spirit of witchcraft thinks that they are elite, that they know everything, that they can get over on people. I've met people that have an elitist spirit, and they're oblivious to how they conduct themselves and what they're doing. And when you ask a general question, well, that's not me. Yeah. Okay. I just ask questions like this one. Are you ever made to feel that everything's your fault? It's your fault, Car, that I haven't grown in my things of Jesus Christ. It's your fault. Dylan, it's your fault because I don't have the things I need to live my life for Jesus Christ. It's not your fault because, you see, it's personal responsibility. You know, there's this convoluted thinking going around about sonship in the kingdom of God. Sonship is about taking responsibility of the kingdom. It's not whether I serve, which has a point to it, but it's being responsible before the king to do what it is he's told you to do in order for you to mature and become the son of God. We're all sons of God. If you understand that. And then we take the kingdom by force. We take it out to the highways and byways. We infiltrate. We have a strategy. We know what God wants to do in our church, in our fellowship, in us. But this spiritual witchcraft will try to impart this influence to keep you believing an untruth or a partial truth and mix it up in such a way that it becomes your fault. Do you know someone who feels that they've never done anything wrong, even after they've abused you or others? It's their fault. It's your fault that I yelled at you, Dan. It's your fault. I used to like laughing. The devil made me do it. Where's personal responsibility in this? You know, Flip Wilson, I think he had it together. You know, the devil made me do it. You're absolutely right. God is very clear and very concise about how we are to behave. And we are no longer to behave like the heathen out there. We're not to conduct ourselves. And there's so many heathen in the church that you can't tell the saints from the ants anymore. What a sad accusation. Turn to Acts 8. This is one way of recognizing a spirit of witchcraft. Understand, it's a spirit that flows with a spirit of divination. We'll start at verse 13. Chapter 8, Acts 8:13. Let's see where we are. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. And when the apostles of Jerusalem heard that Samaria was accepting the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they had arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them. And they had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord. We're talking about water baptism and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. But Simon saw that the Spirit was given on the laying of hands, and he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Can you see the subtlety of this spirit of witchcraft in which they're trying to obtain, trying to influence for a wrong motive? Peter answered, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in the ministry because your heart is not right before God." Again, exercise of communion, what I was saying today. Your heart has to be right. Can't be religious. Okay? "You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right. Repent of this wickedness and pray that the Lord, pray to the Lord that perhaps He will forgive you of having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." This spirit of witchcraft feeds upon the wrongs and creates a heart of resentment and bitterness so it can control its host. And then this host will then spew its garbage onto other people and blame everybody else when they don't even see what's going on in their own heart. Can you see how insidious this is? That's why Paul exhorts us to have no strife or bitterness be found in you. Why? Because this spirit will be activated in us. "And when they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, and John, Peter and John to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to Samaritan villages." What we see here is that the Spirit is trying to buy influence. I've had people through the years try to hang on next to me, try to influence me because they thought themselves to be very spiritual and all. And unfortunately for them, I've had to learn some real heavy, heavy lessons through my life, and I'm not easily swept. I'm discerning what's going on in a person's life. And then their motives come to play. I've emphasized that our part in exposing this spirit is to use the spirit of discernment so that we can discern what's going on. We have to get past the physical realities that is separating the body of Christ and begin to see what that spirit is that's behind, that motivates us to do and say and become that which is contrary to the Word of God. "Well, Pastor, you know, you're just too intense for me. It's just too real." Yeah, well, you know what? I've told you guys a long time ago, when you come with your problems to me, I'll grab the bucket, and we'll put the fire out, and then I'm going to teach you. And when you come to me again with the same problem, what happens? There's the bucket. The word of truth. You're not wasting my time. Over and over again. I've learned that lesson. I've discerned very quickly what's going on in a person's life. And what happens is, when I suspect something going on, that person sits in time out. There's something wrong. And that person has to figure out what's going on. It's not that I have less of a love for them and all. I have more compassion for them because they have not realized that this spirit is so active in the church body that we think this is normal. It is not normal. We should be loving each other in such a way that when we come together, this should be a love fest. This should be Woodstock 2013. Really, it should be. With Jesus being honored by our praise and our worship. Not by, well, you know, look what she's wearing today. You know, oh, Pastor doesn't have a 3-piece suit on and a tie. Oh, man, you know.
He must have been putting on a little bit of weight today. He's kind of heavy.
What we need to begin to do is start looking at ourselves. Where are we missing the mark? What is it that is keeping us missing this mark? God has a call for us. What is that call? What are you doing to fulfill the call of God in your life? What is impeding you is a better way from doing the things that God has called into your life. You may not, again, unaware, the uneducated or the immature is what this spirit attacks. You can think that you're mature all you want, and you're under it. You're under it. Let's look at another thing that this spirit does. I know this is a little bit long, but it's real important that we finish today. And I want to talk about soul ties. This spirit uses soul ties to manipulate the people of God. What is a soul tie? Let's start with basics. What is a soul tie? It is an emotional connection. That's all it is. Where are our emotions located? In our soul. What else is located in there? Our mind and our will, right? And this is what has to get renewed, is our souls. Our spirits have been regenerated, our minds need to be renewed, and our spirit needs to control our minds to motivate the flesh to do the will of God. Or I'll take you back to the nostalgia days. God speaks to my spirit, who enlightens my mind to motivate my flesh to do my will. I must have been under a spirit of witchcraft. That's how it works. It's that simple, but it is so hard for believers. A spirit of witchcraft wants to control its victims, and the best way placing this spiritual hook into them is to make them victims in their emotions. That's why we get tired. We get tired not because we're physically tired. We get tired because we're mentally tired, emotionally tired. How many of us have jobs that emotionally get us tired? And when we come home at the end of the day, we're like, give me a half hour. Give me an hour. But Dad, I love you. Dad, I want to... Just give me a little bit of time. You have to have a warrior's mindset to get through that so that when you come home, you enjoy what God has provided for you. Your homes need to be sanctuaries in which when your children come to you, you are the next best thing to Jesus Christ. You are. But understand that there are good soul ties and evil soul ties. I'm going to give you an example of each one, and I'm going to go quickly. A good soul tie, remember, it's an emotional connection. A good soul tie is like you're in an airplane, and you're flying over the ocean, and you develop engine trouble. You don't have enough power to get to your destination. So you crash land on an island, not like Gilligan, but, you know, all the survivors are there. And once you're able to get yourself together, you come together for the survival of everyone else that's on there. And there is an emotional tie that is developed in that. It's for the good of everyone. Okay? We see it with military personnel that have been in tremendous firefights or battles and stuff. And when they come out of this, there is a connection with our military people that we can't understand. There's a camaraderie of going through a battle in which they will give up their lives to help one another. Because there's an emotional bonding that has been created within them from boot camp to the time that they've been trained to go into war. These are good soul ties. These are the soul ties that we need to develop as believers in Jesus Christ. Okay? Your life and my life depends upon it. Whether you understand this or not, it is the truth. And this spirit of witchcraft does not want us to be emotionally connected in such a way that, you know, we don't pay the price. Dory, for some reason, all the car dies on you. And you know, you're like, what am I going to do? And the spiritual witchcraft says, you know, go do this. You haven't asked God what to do. You haven't gone to ask for spiritual counsel as to what's being done. And it's a roadblock. What we're obviously supposed to do, this spirit throws a hook in it and diverts our attention from where we need to go for our protection. I have to say, sheep are pretty stupid. But you know what? You can learn a lot of lessons from them. And we used to have sheep out here, and I used to watch them, see what they were doing. And when they got spooked, they always ran away from where they were supposed to be. But if the shepherd was there, they were smart enough to run to the shepherd. We're not smart enough to run to the shepherd. We're dumber than sheep, you know? That's for our protection. So we need to develop these soul ties, these emotional ties, in such a way that I will lay my life down for you. I will do what needs to be done for your survival. And that's what the whole purpose of covenantal relationship is all about. When we enter into covenantal relationship, true biblical covenantal relationship, and we see it through the examples of the tribes of Israel, when one fought, they all fought. Right? How many churches fight with each other instead of with each other? Just asking the questions. An abnormal evil soul tie is when one has sexual relationships with one, there is created a soul tie or an emotional bond that two flesh become one. A sexual relationship outside of marriage is unhealthy. The one God has ordained that is healthy is a marriage relationship that is normal, and sexual relationships breed and build that intimacy between a husband and wife. That's why God is so adamant that when we break the marriage covenant, and we go outside and looking for some sort of fulfillment, it is a spirit of witchcraft that is dividing us. It feeds into our flesh what we desire to be fulfilled that we think our spouse is not able to do for us. It's something in us. And we don't want to think about what's in us. We want to blame them. And so what happens is spirit diverts our attention from our spouses. Arguments and stuff happen in the home. And I hate to tell you, but your spouse is not going to fulfill you. Only Jesus Christ is going to fulfill you. That's why, guys, our wives are helpmates. They're there to help us. We're responsible for it all. And if they weren't there, you'd still be responsible for it all. God gave them to us to help us through the tough times. Not to fulfill us, to make us, oh, I feel so complete with you, Miss Kim. I really do. Only Jesus can complete you. If you're looking for another human being to fulfill that, to fill that hole that's in your heart, you're looking at the wrong person. And what happens is this spirit of witchcraft wants to throw this emotional hook in there through sexual relationships outside of marriage. And when this happens, that spirit takes over that person. That person is filled with resentment and bitterness, blames somebody else while controlling the situation or trying to control through influencing other people, gossip, derogatory speaking of another individual, saying, that person is such a worm, can you believe they did this to me? Where's your spiritual radar? It takes two. A spirit of witchcraft wants to emotionally bond with a person to manipulate them, that they may even use pregnancy to control them. How many people do we see in society today, in the church of Jesus Christ today, getting involved sexually with people that they know they shouldn't be sexually involved with? But you don't understand, Pastor, I have needs. So does Jesus Christ. That's why He died. To fulfill all your needs. Not some fallen carnal desire of your heart. So that you can manipulate the person to do what you want to do instead of doing what Jesus Christ requires of you. Again, it's personal accountability. And there are so many people like this in the church, and they leave the church because they don't want to be accountable. Remember the teaching about the tank years ago? They are the ones that walk around the tank. They have no problem or desire to get on the tank, and even less desire to get into the tank. They are contained with such a spirit of religion. They know the word. So does Satan. They know the word. They can twist it. They can bend it. They are trying to manipulate the people of God from doing the will of God. Does this make sense? Turn to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to give you an example of this. 1 Corinthians 5. And I'm sorry it's long, but you know what? It's real important that we get to understand that this spirit of witchcraft is no joke. It's not something to play with. It's an inhibitor of you becoming all that Jesus Christ wants you to become. 1 Corinthians 5, let's start with verse 1. It was actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you of a kind that does not occur even among the pagans. A man has his father's wife, and you're so proud. Shouldn't you rather be filled with grief and have put him out of your fellowship that the man who did this? Even though I am not there physically present, I am with you in spirit. And I have already passed judgment on the one who has done this, just as if I were there. When you assemble in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am with you in spirit, and in the power of the Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan, or woman. Remember, demons don't care. They're not sex biased or gender biased. They will use whatever host that they can use to do what it is that they want to be done. In this illustration, it's a man. And we're told to throw them out. Or give them over to Satan so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Don't you think that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast, which you may be a new batch without yeast, as you already are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old yeast and the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the bread with the yeast and the bread of sincerity and truth. And he goes back on and he talks about the moral code of God's people. It is your right and expectation of your Father to expose those who are conducting themselves illicitly in behaviors that are contrary to the people of God. Because that's what God has said. And those who continue in this and participate in this do not understand the purity and cohesiveness of the body of Jesus Christ. They're so filled with their own problems. They're so filled with their selfishness and self-centeredness. They don't want to hear it. I'm here to tell you that should not be spoken of. That behavior should not be amongst us. And when I find out about it, I am very gracious. But you know what? Don't look for sympathy from me. Because I know the motivation of that spirit. You may have taken advantage of me because I wasn't spiritually strong enough, but I'm here to tell you right now, bring it on. Bring your best shot. I'm dressed for battle. And I'm trying to get you to put your equipment on. And first part of equipment is spiritual discernment as to what is going on. Questions. Have you ever been emotionally bonded with a person who uses this bonding to manipulate you? Do you know people like this? Again, I'm asking questions to stimulate your discernment. To stimulate your mindset to get past the physical aspect to look at the spiritual realities that we're dealing with. Have you ever met a person who tries or thinks more highly of themselves to look important though, through the use of another's person's reputation? Oh yeah, I know this person. How many of us name drop to try to weasel our way into something? Like it carries more weight. I had them doing it all the time. And they'll say, well, do you know so-and-so? Maybe. Well, you know, I used to work with that person. They're trying to weave in. I'm interested about the fruit. Not what you tell me. I'm interested in your conduct, in your character. How you're growing spiritually. What's going on in your life. How you take care of your family. Do you sacrifice? Are you obedient to the Word of God? Don't tell me what you've done. Show me who you are. Isn't that what Dr. King said? You know, judge man by his character, not by the color of his skin. I'm doing what Jesus said. I'm judging. And I have every right, because I'm a spiritual man, to judge spiritually, to discern what's going on in a person's life. My job is to bishop your soul. My job is to make you uncomfortable. When you come into the presence of God, of which I represent, you're going to be uncomfortable, because you're not going to know what God's going to be asking you. Do you know anyone who insinuates they are part of an organization through this name dropping? I used to be part of Kenneth Copeland's ministry, or Fred Price. You know, I was part of his ministry for years and years. Yeah, Grafala Dowell and I are really tight, you know. I could care less. I could care less. I could care less what you know. I'm watching what you do and who you are. That's what any pastor who's worth his salt in this day and age is all about. I'm not about raising up people to make them feel good. I'm about making disciples who want Jesus Christ and to do His will. End of discussion. If you're not about that, go to Safe Church. Go to a church that will placate your flesh. Go to a church that will not bishop your soul. Go someplace where you can manipulate them and try to impress them. I'm not having it. You're either going to be right before God or you're going to be left behind. That's the truth. The overall purpose of this teaching, this series, is first to expose the subtleties of witchcraft. It is prevalent within the church and the warfare is real. Second, it's to reveal some of the tactics and methods that are used by this spirit on all of us. All of us have had some sort of influence by this spirit. We just haven't recognized what this spirit is or have been taught how to recognize and discern what's going on. Because we think this is normal. This is not normal, church. This is not normal. If you're living the same lifestyle that you had when you first got saved, you're in sin. How can you say that, Pastor? Easy. Your life is not changing. You're not producing fruit. You're placating your flesh because you're not dying daily. Lastly, we're all been assaulted by this spirit, either through ignorance or immaturity. But today, let us examine ourselves. Let us really be honest before a holy God who is here today. And acknowledge, be truthful for the first time in your life that you have either been used, abused, or influenced by this spirit, which is the first step of your recovery into the ranks of Almighty God. I can't put it out there any plainer. I am zealous for the people of God, but I am zealous for God. All of us have stuff that's going on in our lives, but we got to stop using it as a crutch. We have to stop using it to give this spirit freedom into our lives in such a way that it impedes us from becoming that which God has already obtained us and made us to be. He wants to make this reality in our lives. And when we're able to first admit, I like Dr. Phil, you can't change what you don't admit. It's like an alcoholic. Right, Gar? Sure. If you don't admit you got a problem, you don't have a problem. And I know you're in recovery, and praise God, you know, by the power of God, He'll keep you running straight and narrow, and you'll never use that crutch again. Amen. Let us all stand. I want you to just take a few minutes. You don't have to acknowledge this aloud. Just give it to the Lord and admit, take personal responsibility of what this spirit has used you for, has abused you for, has taken advantage of you, and how you've used that against another believer. The reason why the body of Jesus Christ is not coming together is because specifically, this spirit of divination and witchcraft is so subtle in our lives that we don't realize it, and we think this is normal. I'm here to tell you that our Father in heaven has a better way for us. So just give it to Him. If it struck a chord with you today, just give it to Him. I'll give you a couple minutes. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Your Word is true, God, and it's pure, it's holy, it's righteous, it's our food, God. And we cannot do anything without You, God. God, You have crushed my heart so much and shown me through all the years of my ignorance how this spirit of witchcraft has dominated me. And God, I thank You for Jesus, because Jesus said, if the Son has set you free, You are free indeed. Lord, I pray that what I've shared today in revealing some of the tactics of this spirit, I pray Your people be set free, God. Wash them, cleanse them, God, in Your blood as they make confession to You, God. It's about a heart change. It's not about how you can scurry out and not get pinned down. God, I thank You, God, that Your Word is alive. It's powerful. It's able to divide the soul and the spirit, God. I pray for Your people, God, that truth would penetrate that area of bondage in Jesus' name. Set the people free, Holy Spirit. Set them free in Jesus' name. We bind You, You spirit of witchcraft, and we have exposed You and cast You out. In Jesus' name, Father, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, we give You permission to expand our discerning spirit, God, that we may see the realities of this warfare that is going on around us, with us, and in the midst of our fellowships, God. God, You have called us to a greater place. You have called us not to be like the world. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we call it done. Father, so in this day, we give You praise and glory for everything, God. We surrender every excuse, every diversion, everything that is not of You, that impedes us from becoming that which You have called us. Our resources, God, our lack, whatever we have, abundance, God, whatever it is that would impede us, God, to make us think that we have arrived, God, that we have done it in our strength, God, we repent to You right now. For what we have is all by Your hand, God. Because You have found us faithful in little, may we prove ourselves faithful in much. So God, as Your people go forth today, I pray this word would resound within their spirits today, God. That these teachings, God, would just envelop their souls, God. And that God, from this point forward, God, truth would be their sword in their hand, God. I thank You for this time in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen.